Hey everyone, welcome to More Than Mises, guys. We are finishing out the Raiders of the Last Ark Transformers UK number 21. I'm here with Boo once again, and we are going to put this auntie to rest.
It's really the third arc so far.
Oh God, is it?
Well, because we had Man of Iron,
yeah,
and then we had the Enemy Within.
True.
And so this is the Raiders of the Last Ark is actually the third arc.
Well, no, it's actually the fourth arc, because
counting
what is it?
the American side. I was thinking UK centric,
which is kind of neat. By the end of this issue, we go back to the American comic with, I guess, number 5 from the American comics, which is be number 22 in the UK.
Yes,
which is going to get really confusing really fast.
So the opener style and layout has changed again.
Yeah, well, and there's also a little thing with that letter to the editor. The old team's leaving.
Yeah.
They're done.
Well, the last time they changed the openers, it wasn't too long. It was in issue 15. So they changed it. So they're still, like, playing with the layout.
Yeah.
And, yeah, this is going to be the last issue with Sheila Krenner as editor. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of her thing to do, like, the general magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a very generalized approach to it. That's why you have all kinds of, like, I guess other non-Transformers things in it.
Okay, so we're going to see less of that then, going forward?
Yes, Ian Rimmer, Simon Furman's friend,
okay,
will be taking over as the editor, and he took a more Transformers-centric view of the magazine, so you'll see that coming up. You'll see a lot more Transformers-centric things.
Captain Ian Rimmer.
Yes.
Stoke me a clipper. So they're I guess that we're going right into after this issue 5, which is fine. I guess it gives them a good transition to the new team and the way the layout is going to run.
Yeah, because all these stories so far have taken place between issues, I guess, 3 and 4 of the American comic.
Is it 3 or 4? Yeah, it is 3 and 4.
Yeah, that's between the Spider-Man Gears thing and, shooting at spark plug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is great because Gears is, for some reason, in the comic again later. We'll get to that, though.
Robo He's Capers, having a really bad time.
He is. Robo Capers was fine. This King No Knows has the plans for a mighty new war robot, and they ran out of parts.
He's like the Autobot X, but cheaper.
I was actually going to say that, yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, Dad.
Yeah, he's made out of all kinds of random stuff. Like, there's like a
transmutate.
Oh, totally transmutate. Yeah, there's like
the stool
leg. Yeah, he's got a foot for an arm. Yeah, it's crazy looking thing.
I feel you, Simon Keeling. He wrote a letter talking about the best and worst list. They've been having those every issue. I had to fully agree with him. Drop Matt the Cat, Machine Man, and Crobots.
He's on to something.
He is. He's like, hey, man, I like Planetary. And I kind of agree with him. Actually, it's kind of funny. It's a funny little comic.
Yeah.
Honestly, Simon, wherever you are at this point, you're probably about our age. Good on you, man.
He called it.
Yeah. There's a blurb about Telltales, which is like the real long books.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of neat. And also, they have a little advertisement later on in the comic about this, too, which is kind of neat. But you see, it was like, the things you see at the store that had the little cassette tape and the book,
Right. Like, we had the one that came with the yellow cliff jumper.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Like, Satellite of Doom and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And there's just some other, there's like the Pen Pal stuff is kind of, whatever. They actually, this time, because they said they did it last time, this time they actually had the Insecticon contest winners.
Boy, there are a lot of them. Man.
Yeah, there are. But I swear that they said they were going to have it the last issue, and I kept looking for it. It wasn't there.
So, yeah. Man, that's a lot of kids getting free toys. That is, I am so jealous.
Yeah, it's Simon Hennessy, good on you, man.
Right, and then did you notice in the stock exchange, we got another Ratchet hater.
We do. he was so wants to get rid of that Ratchet, it hurts.
Yeah, he wants Sunstreaker, Jazz, or Blue Streak. He's like, man, what do you got?
Just Jazz or Blue Streak, they're fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Sunstreaker's pretty good, too. I mean,
yeah. Well, Sunstreaker's a bit more, I don't know. He feels a lot more static.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He's less puzzled, but, that's the first car to robot transformer.
But I hate, you know. Then there's actually this time they start putting in like, you know, messages. There's a great one like from Stuart Ingram. Hello to you from your son, Mark. He tells us you'll be reading this before he does.
Yeah, I thought that was cool because yeah, they've got they set a few issues back, start sending in the birthday messages, what, like 3 months ahead of time or whatever, and they'll get them printed. And yeah, this dad got one from his son because apparently the dad reads the comics before the kid does,
And good on
which
you.
either he's like the first instance that we've seen of an adult fan, or he's very protective of what his son reads.
That could be that too. I didn't really think about that.
Yeah.
Very, very likely too.
Maybe a little bit of both, you know.
Why not both?
When I was a kid, like the thing that really got me thinking about being a collector for Transformers is I went to a friend's house and he had like all the 85 line on his shelf. He had them laid up like die-cast cars and planes and stuff. And I was like amazed. I've never seen anybody that had all of them. And it was because his dad was into it. His dad had a VCR back then. He was actually recording all the episodes
Oh, nice.
because he would get in from work like at 5 and the show would come on at 4:30 here. So the dad would record them. And then that's the first thing he did when he came home. He's like, all right, we got new Transformers. He's like, let's watch it. And we watched the Insecticon Syndrome. So that's the first episode I ever watched on a VHS. And it was because there was a dad that was a fan back then. So,
Oh, hell, history repeats itself.
oh, yeah. Well, and you know, for the longest time, we didn't have, you know, any DVDs or even VHSs of Transformers. It was all
Oh
like
yeah.
bootlegs from stuff like that.
Oh yeah. People who would like record in every day, like that's you get I would get G.I. Joe Transformers on tapes. And sometimes if I would go to the other station to if I miss Transformers and like Robotech would come on, things like that.
Oh yeah, like in the mid-90s in comic shops, there's always the one guy that had all the bootleg recordings of, you know, TV shows that, you know, just weren't available. And I loved when you'd get all the commercials and stuff with
Oh
them.
yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of the there's a YouTube channel called like Retro Bacon or something like that. I can't remember, but I'll do chunks of like 80s and 90s cartoons and include the commercials, which are just funny to watch now.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, back then, even today, you want to cut out all the commercials.
Oh
But
yeah,
man, when you go back and look at those commercials, they're a real time capsule.
they are 100%.
You'll see a lot of stuff that you completely forgot about.
Yeah, there was one God, it was like I want to say he's a wrestler. No, it was Andre the Giant. He was yeah, was a wrestler. Andre the Giant was
Yeah.
it was some kind of like thing where the kids were in a treehouse.
Oh, that's the Honeycomb Hideout.
It is Honeycomb Hideout. That's the one.
Because Honeycomb was big, so he needed a big cereal. I remember that one.
Yeah, I saw that one recently. Like, oh my God, I remember that vaguely.
Yeah.
So yeah, that one kind of is really neat. I enjoy the little all the little, I don't know, little blurbs that remind you of the time you came from. And you know, things like this, reading these letters and seeing the different ads also does the same thing here.
Well, the UK comic was so much more personable
Yeah.
than what we got. We got a comic, which is just like every other comic. None of the US comics did anything like this that I know of,
Oh God,
you
no.
know? And this was like, man, they were all about their fans there. I mean, they were giving out stuff and personal message. I mean, you might see letters to the editor in the back, but usually that was like story centric, you know, and oh, well, you know, someone was actually in the comments to the editor, oh, look, I want my no prize because, you know, Beast wasn't supposed to be knocked out and he was there, you know.
You get a Marvel No Prize. Congratulations.
Exactly. But, you know, and you'd get every once in a while, you get something personal, but not often. This is like they made a section just for it.
It actually probably made the fans want to read it every month and like see if their name came up in it.
Oh yeah, and this was easily like the beginnings of the, I guess, the interconnectedness of the fandom, I would say, would be the UK openers.
For sure. But speaking of interconnectedness, we get into Chromabots,
Oh yes.
which it's kind of a neat thing. Shield's going up to the ship and he has a very much a Hound moment. And he's like, well, this I hate to be connected to such a pretty planet, but he kind of like muses about how nice it is on Earth.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's almost like how Hound in the TV show at least is very I don't know. He very much like wants to actually his tech spec too. he likes Earth. He wants to, and you know, enjoy, doesn't want anything to happen to it.
Yeah.
And she wants to do the same thing.
Yeah. Aliens, you either get the ones that they think Earth is beautiful,
mm-hmm.
or it's a crappy mud ball and they hate it.
Yeah. You know? Optimus Prime had a moment like that in the Skybound books where he accidentally steps on a deer.
Oh yeah. Oh dear.
Oh no. Well, I don't want to ruin it too much. There's my favorite hippie beatnik Autobot just arrived.
Going to say he should be the one that really gets into Earth.
Well, yeah.
I mean, he's a geologist.
Yep, exactly.
But I'm always wondering where the aliens are just like, meh, Earth's uninteresting. Been there, done that 100 times, you know?
Just like any other waterlogged mud ball.
I think that's like the real aliens, and that's why they don't come here, because we're like, eh. It's like every small town. You're like, one red light, that's it. Keep going.
Yeah. Exactly. And like, you know, Transmute's patrolling while Dudley sleeps. And I don't know, it's kind of like we're getting like a little, you know, background of what's going on when they're like, I guess when they're not trying to track down Predator. And Mikros is in there reading Dudley's comics. He's got like a stack here and a stack here.
Oh yeah. That's so, where he's like gathering all his information from like Dudley's Marvel comics.
Yeah. It's funny too. They make a point of this here soon. He calls back to the Chromos 5 and like Signet
is what Signet.
Signet. It's basically it looks like a woman with a cool like sci-fi 60s helmet on.
It's like a girl Mega Man.
Kind of is, yeah.
Yeah. And she's female appearing.
Well, the heavy lipstick and the features, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So they're talking about how she's heard that Dudley is the human they've teamed up with. And let me read this. It appears that he is already quite familiar with the existence of mutants, aliens, and robotic life forms, something to do with a powerful influence called Marvel. So yeah.
Well, they always kiss up to Marvel really well.
They do. They're comics. Really good about that. Like
they're really happy to have their job.
You can definitely tell. But they're trying to, I guess they're tracking Predator, and he was tracked twice in 1985. And then he goes into a time slip.
Yeah, his vibration pattern. And I'm like, well, okay, if you can detect it in 1985 twice, and then in what, 550 years later, you can see that, okay, then why couldn't you see everywhere he was throughout time?
Yeah, exactly.
It's...
So he's shown up in 2535 AD.
Yeah.
So. Okay, it's very I don't know what's a good way to put that.
It's some fuzzy sci-fi.
Fuzzy sci-fi is a great way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can't overthink it. It's Chromobots.
No. I mean, I don't overthink Transformers. Let's not even get into Chromobots. Of course, then we have a little ad for Return of the Jedi, and I guess they're going to start putting out the Return of the Jedi comics.
Yeah.
On Saturday, only 27 pence. So cheap.
And man, Cyril, the editor droid, he gets like a lot of play. They really push him a lot.
Yes, they do.
We now return to the Transformers.
But on to Raiders of the Last Ark. Excuse me. So there's this great opening panel with Megatron all swirling with cosmic energy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gathering power for, like his textbook says, from a black hole. So, you know, I thought he just grabbed power from a black hole through his fusion cannon.
Yeah. Like it linked it, but yeah, this is like a different ability.
Yeah. He's got some power cosmic stuff going on here.
Honestly, this reminds me of what he's able to do in the G2 comics.
Yeah,
when he gets his tank body. Yeah, it's very similar to that.
But and Optimus Prime's like, that's incredible. He's pulling all this energy, and I don't know. He's still in the fence. Like, I wonder if he can do it quick enough to actually save us all and destroy Auntie. But then there's this huge crash, and Auntie looks real mad. But Windcharger comes through the door. I guess the big guardian thing was not a hologram.
Yeah.
And, punches.
And he wasn't much of a robot either.
No, he wasn't. It kind of looks like a Fatal Fluffy from G.I. Joe.
I could see that. Yeah.
The little things that they grew to be like slavers on the satellite.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Wind Charger just like punches through the door, and there comes Ravage, and Ravage being his, you know, pretty rad, you know, fast self, goes through and just tears up Auntie.
Yeah.
Fast enough where, you know, she doesn't have any time to react. Auntie dies. That was a pretty, I don't know, kind of neat way to shore up that storyline.
She was a lot more fragile than they let on. I mean, he like jumped through, I don't know, is that her hologram face?
I think so, yeah.
And then I guess hit her circuitry, and that, I mean, that was it.
Sure. I get the feeling she was held together. I spit and duct tape at that point.
Yeah. And then the Guardian, man, just Wind Chargers just on
him.
Oh,
yeah.
And he's down. Like, it was like nothing. This wasn't much of a Guardian.
No. It's like Wind Charger comes up to his knee, but just pounds him.
But, you know, Wind Charger really should be like one of the most OP Transformers with his magnetic powers. I mean,
he
put Magneto on Cybertron.
Yeah. You know? Definitely is in this.
Yeah. And I always thought he should be. He was very underutilized because having magnetic powers.
Yeah.
He should be really dangerous. I know they did one of the Find Your Fate Junior books.
Yeah.
And Wind Charger was involved with the Dinobots, and if you weren't careful, you could like accidentally like kill everyone as Wind Charger.
But the Auntie, I guess, goes offline, and they both drop. Megatron and Optimus Prime drop. Optimus Prime goes down on like an elbow. Megatron just like kind of lightly glides down and touches it.
Optimus goes down with the people's elbow.
He does. But man, so Megatron's over there, has this fist just like flowing with cosmic energy. He's like, you know, I gotta absorb all this energy. I gotta do something with it. It's like, it's a shame to waste it.
Oh yeah. And he's pointing it right at Optimus.
Oh yeah. He's about to like eviscerate Optimus.
He's going to hit him with the force lightning.
He is.
And you know, that's the same effect it had in G2 with the, I guess the nuclear effect. Yeah.
Look back.
His hand would glow.
Yeah, I have to go back and read it. It's been years since I've read G2. But
we'll get to it.
Oh, eventually, yes. Yeah. Eventually. So at last, he Wind Charger pushes the Guardian off of him, and then he sees what's happening, and he just goes full on, Magneto freak out moment. And
he's even got the Magneto power lines off of him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, the waves.
Mm-hmm. Does this whole thing where he's the strongest, tightest magnetic field he can generate,
mm-hmm.
and shoves Megatron out of the arc, and just continues going up through the roof, out the ship completely, through the volcano, and like just somewhere.
He Wile E. Coyotes him.
He did.
Yeah, he's just like gone. Catapults him.
Yeah,
almost to orbit, I think it says.
Yeah, well, theoretically, Wind Charger should have been able to knock Megatron into the far reaches of space. But it sounds like he was probably just beat up from all the other fighting. He just knocked him like way out, you know, somewhere on Earth.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't.
And he fried his circuits doing it too.
He did. Yeah. So he goes down and he's just smoking now, which
he looks like he did in the movie.
Yeah, he does. Nicely ties this little loose end up for what's to come next. And Optimus Prime he's silent. He's surveying the wreckage. He sees everything that's happened, including Wind Charger being fried on the ground. And suddenly Gears shows back up.
Yep.
Gears is good for cameos.
Yeah, he's back again. And then like the next time you see him in 4, or I guess issue 8, or 7. He's on the Metapad getting fixed up again, and that's when he like rats on Sparkplug that he hasn't mentioned at all.
So yeah,
and I know it's tricky filling in these, but yeah.
Yeah, you get the Marvel No Prize this time.
Yeah. Well, they do a good job of messing Gears up every time to make sure he needs to get back into the med bay. Yep.
And then, he's like, he's basically saying like, after Megatron, got blown out of the ship, all the Decepticons took off. Why are you so glum, Optimus? And he's like, man, you know, what cost, man? Windcharger, Jazz, Prowl, Hound, Brawn. They're all basically, they're beat up. They're undergoing a lot of rebuilding. And wondering if you should even rebuild, you know, Auntie at this point.
Yeah.
Which, spoiler, later on, apparently he does, or they do. So.
Yeah, she's still dangerous, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, considering what happens later in the regeneration.
Yeah, I just think it's funny. He's going through the list of all the ones that were damaged.
Yeah.
And, you know, Gears is not on the list.
Yet. Well, he's talking to Gears.
Right. So he should be, because when you, like, where this falls continuity-wise, it should be Gears is definitely, like, the main one they're fixing.
Yeah. And then they have this really cool, like, you know, carved into the metal plating, we'll be back.
First instance of Decepticon graffiti.
Yeah. Is that really what it is?
Well, I mean, they wrote it on the wall.
I didn't catch that. I guess so.
Yeah. I mean, it's not to the level of what, you know, Battle Chargers did, but.
And not spray paint the Statue of Liberty, no.
Yeah.
But yeah, then we get right into Planet Terry, which I don't know, it's a silly comic, but it's actually just kind of fun.
Yeah, it's a fun little reprieve.
Yeah.
At least the story is pretty tight, you know, it's very linear.
Yeah. Even though the story is maddening because he always gets this close to finding his parents.
Yeah. It's that carrot on a stick.
Oh, yeah. Omnus is clearing the forest, and Terry's guiding them with his Viper compass. The compass he's holding has a big wheel on it. It says right direction. I guess it turns whenever he's going somewhere.
Yeah, I guess it vibrates if you're pointing in the right direction.
Maybe so. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah.
they would call things vibro this and vibro that just to make it sound really cool and, you know, special.
Oh yeah, it's like the space cookies they have later.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Omnus can penetrate anything, even the impenetrable forest.
Yeah. I got that too.
Yeah.
Robotus like, oh, yeah, if you need a break, I'll glad to take over. And he's like, what? And
yeah, he doesn't think much of Robotus. He's kind of a robo sexist.
Actually, he reminds me a bit of someone we know. He's like, oh, best leave this work to the man, Tin Miss. Yeah, he's gone totally misogynistic. But yeah, you know, it's just they're going through this, like, I don't know, they call it a forest. It's kind of a jungle forest. It's got,
it
like,
doesn't seem that impenetrable.
No, it's just got a lot of bushes.
Maybe just the Gorkles.
Yeah, maybe so. They're kind of dumb. So there's their parrot. I don't know, macaw or something like that. And they're like, oh, look at the cute parrot. So yeah, it asks for a cracker just because it's a parrot, you know, it's what they do apparently. And
on every planet.
Yes, yes, of course. And there's no cracker, but will the space cookie do? It looks like a chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah.
And yeah, of course, says thank you and squawk and leaves. And it turns into like a vulture. It looks like God, what is the, I'm trying to think, there's a cartoon with this. There's like, had a cartoon vulture. It was like basically the familiar of the bad guy.
Oh, there were several of them. Yeah. But yeah. I know they showed up like that in like Popeye. A lot of the Harvey cartoons, which, you know, the artwork is from that realm.
Yeah, actually, it makes sense. I think I'm thinking of the Popeye comic strips and stuff I used to read when I was younger. But his name is Scavenge.
Scavenge, yes.
Scavenge, and I'm like, pretty close. So, yeah, he comes back and tells about the prophecy. And there's these alien creatures that are approaching the Dome City.
Yeah, they warn evil Uncle Vermin,
mm-hmm.
who looks like Space Anton LaVey.
He kind of does.
Yeah.
Whoa. With a bit more of an egghead, but yeah.
Yeah, like a conehead version of Anton LaVey.
God, he does.
Yeah.
Okay, now I can't unsee that. The cowl. He looks like he's trying to be a space vampire. So yeah, Anton LaVey, yeah. Makes sense. And then he calls down to the dungeon guard to see if the princess is still sleeping.
Oh, guards, man.
Guards down there going, what? Is the princess sleeping? I can't hear you. Apparently the princess sleeps real loud.
Yeah, so. She's sawing logs down there.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, anyways, he turns off the villain two-way radio.
Yeah.
And then he goes down to a cellar where he's got like a mayhem, it's called the Mayhem Maker. He's got a villain computer.
Yeah, it's very Ming the Merciless.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, in fact, he looks a lot like Ming the Merciless too. Like if Impossible Man and Ming the Merciless had a baby.
And it looks like Anton LaVey.
Yeah. Well, you know, Anton LaVey and the old style of Ming the Merciless really looked a lot. I think he was tapping into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next, and there he's going to go through obstacles on their course in the impenetrable forest. But then we have the same ad we had last issue with the mixed up, you know, Prowl, his feet are backwards, and, you know, Dirge and Ramjet and Starscream were all mixed up.
They have the wrong names, yeah. Yeah. And the scary kid in the jacket's back.
Yeah, he is. Well, Buckaroo Banzai as a kid.
Right.
Oh, God, that's amazing.
Maybe that's what it's like in the eighth dimension for Transformers.
Really stylish red jackets. It kind of looks like it's trying to be corduroy, but it's shiny.
Yeah.
It reminds me of something. It's not, oh man. It kind of reminds me. I'm trying to think of something. The texture reminds me of something. I want to say from Black Hole, but maybe I'm wrong.
Oh yeah, I could see that. It looks like, was it Maximilian?
Kind of with ridges.
Yeah.
It
reminds me of old Snake's jacket from
it does.
Yeah. Only does. Human.
So yeah, then we next page is a nice, like, pretty cool drawing of Sunstreaker.
Now we finally got, you know, a calendar boy worth looking at. It's Sunstreaker.
With his head way back there.
Oh yeah. He'd say that this was the first one of quality.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It's funny though, he looks really good for the most part. Then they went full on with the head being far back on the chest.
Oh yeah, well, it's still got that, you know, that toy tectic look.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Hand out front like this, you know, coming at you. But yeah, it was kind of neat. I really dug that. And then of course that's your July calendar. But the saga of Eric the Red, and I know you looked up a lot about this.
Oh yeah, and it's, you know, it's kind of hit or miss. With it, you know, it's how factual it is.
Yeah.
Well, first off, this was again from, you know, Le Journal de Tintin. Okay. And this is the final from the fax files.
Oh, really? Okay.
This
great.
Is the last one. Last time you'll see this. So, yeah.
They're doing all things right.
So this was done by. Just to edit that out.
Oh, I definitely will leave it in. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. This is the final from the fax files.
Yeah.
So we won't see this anymore. It's taken from the saga of Eric the Red.
Okay.
Okay. And it was originally by Jean-Marie Vourel and Yves Duvel.
Good
so
job.
They were a writer and artist team that worked on a lot of this stuff for, you know, French, I guess, comics. I know Jean-Marie Vourel did a lot of historical comics and books. He wrote books. You can look him up on like Amazon, and he's still around, like doing stuff. I want to say Yves Duval or Duvel passed away a few years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Jean Valley is still around, and Eve is passed on. Is Jean Valley the guy you showed me with the curly dark hair?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was Jean Murray.
Still, like, he looks like he's going to Comic Con stuff. Cool.
Yeah, and this was originally published in January of 1984.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and it was La Saga de Eric Randa. So that's Eric the Red in French. I'm sure I mispronounced that.
It's Randa, really?
Randa, like Randa. R-A-N-D-A.
That's nuts. Red would be Rouge. So I don't know. Maybe it's like maybe because of the name or something. I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with hands being red, which is, you know, where you get it.
Well, that's one of the things that's not quite accurate, is because, you know, they depict him as a blonde in here.
Yeah.
And Eric the Red was called Eric the Red because his hair was red.
I mean, so, according to the Army of Darkness, that works out too.
Right. Oh, yeah. Henry the Red.
Henry the Red. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's funny. So, and then, okay, the first thing off, I think this is a mistranslation. It has to be, because it says 2,000 years ago on Iceland, okay? But Eric the Red lived between 950 AD and 1003 AD.
Yeah, that can't possibly be right.
Yeah, so okay. So that should, I think that should have been 1,000 years ago.
Yeah,
okay. And then, you know, we go through Eric, basically, they've been exiled to Iceland.
Did it say why he was exiled to Iceland?
No. It just says your family had, if your family hadn't been exiled from Norway, you wouldn't have to sweat like this now. And it implies that Eric was the one that was exiled.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. His father was exiled.
I almost wondered it has something to do with, because they brought in, like, you know, being following the Christian gods. I wonder if it was a thing having to do with theism.
Oh, no, not at all, actually. His father was exiled for manslaughter.
Oh.
Yeah, his father was Thorvald Asvaldsson, and he was exiled to Iceland for manslaughter when Eric was 10 years old. So Eric was just along for the ride, but Eric had also been exiled from one of the cities in Iceland, one of the towns, and so they'd moved to another part. Because, you know, they were fighters. They're Vikings. And I thought it was actually kind of, I guess, progressive that they would just exile them. Because, you know, you always hear about the Blood Eagles and how they'd execute, you know, people. But, yeah, they'd exile them, seems like, pretty often. Like, repeat offenders.
Well, I mean, that's how they take care of repeat offenders in the Norwegian area of Europe now. I guess Northern Europe, is they don't actually, like, they don't use traditional prisons. They actually exile them to a little town where out for rehabilitation.
Yeah, I mean, it's unexpected for that time period.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, because just 300 years later, you know, you have Vlad the Impaler, you know, in Eastern Europe. Just, yeah. I mean, you step out of line a little bit and you're up on the pole. So, yeah, just, I guess, when you're in power and you don't feel threatened, it's easier to be benevolent.
I almost wonder if they had such a hard time anyways as people, because how tough the environment was.
Yeah, the environment was their main enemy, and that's probably the worst thing you could do. Is like, oh, we could kill you, but that's letting you off easy here. Go out into the wilderness and try to survive without, you know, the support system.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure in a lot of cases that was a death sentence.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, because what we see later in the comic, yeah, it could be, for sure.
It kind of reminds me of from the Fallout series, where you think they're going to sentence Lucy to death. Spoiler. But, you know, well, we're just going to make you leave into that horrible wasteland above.
I mean,
here's 2 weeks' supplies.
Yeah, there's like, it's like 2 or 3 months old at this point. It, you know.
Yeah, I think we're safe.
Yeah. We're past the spoiler zone. Unlike what people put all over TikTok when I saw things for Wolverine and Deadpool.
Oh, man. Yeah, I still can't believe I got that spoiled for you. You need to watch that ASAP. It's great.
Oh, I will.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so he leaves. Eric has all these beams and this lumber.
Yeah. And that's something they gloss over, too.
Oh, okay.
Because it wasn't just beams of lumber. These were ornamental pillars that were supposedly enchanted that belonged to his father.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that's why he's so attached. I mean, wood is not that easy to get there as it is, but these were like special, like carved pillars. Wow. So yeah, they had a dispute over him because his neighbor Thorgest didn't want to give him back.
Well, yeah. Thorgest looks like a jerk anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. You can rely on me, buddy. So, and then, yeah, he says, how can you prove? And so, like, well, I'm going off what the comic says. I don't know what was real and what's not. But, like,
right.
You can't prove these are your beams. And instead of, you know, backing off, he beats the beats someone to death. One of the guys.
Yeah, he fights him and kills his sons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, like I said, this is a historical fiction. Mm-hmm. In reality, Eric got his crew together and they went back at night and stole them.
Their sons? Oh, the
ornamental pillars. And these guys attacked them in pursuit. Like they pursued them.
Oh.
And they had, you know, basically like the heist car chase. And yeah, Thorgest's sons were killed, as were a few others. And so that's when, you know, Eric gets exiled yet again.
Like father, like son.
Yeah.
But yeah, he exiles and he leaves and goes to Greenland, which,
yeah,
if we know anything about geography, which I know you do,
mm-hmm.
that's a much worse place to be than Iceland.
Right. And I mean, it was technically a little better than it is now. It was fine until the little ice age.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah. But something that's cool here about the Council of Elders.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what they called that back then. In fact, it's like the origin of this word. It was called a thing.
A thing?
It's called a thing. Yeah. We're called a thing. And that's like the origin of that word is from basically their Viking council.
Oh, nice. So
if you watch a lot of Viking stuff, you'll hear them every once in a while talk about the thing. We're going to meet at the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't like a general term. That was a specific thing. A specific thing. So,
yes.
So I just thought that was neat.
Nice.
But yeah, they exiled them to, I guess, out of Iceland. So we're going to go off to Greenland, which it had been found before.
Yeah.
I guess by accident. By Gunnbjorn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
and so, yeah, they took off for that.
Obviously didn't stay because it's not really, it's less hospitable than Iceland.
Yeah, well, yes and no. I mean, they went there. It was just a 3-year exile, too, for mm-hmm. killing two dudes.
Yeah.
In a dispute over these pillars. And I guess because, you know, the pillars are under dispute over whose ownership, so you could say he was defending his property. So I guess they had like a stand your ground type thing that gave him a, you know, mitigation for his, what he did.
Uh-huh.
So they just get, oh yeah, 3 years, go live somewhere else. And then, you know, he comes back after 3 years and the guys that went with him there were actually the ones that helped him steal the pillars and their families. So that's why they had like a whole group of Vikings that went to Greenland. And I thought it was really funny that mm-hmm. when they mention Greenland,
mm-hmm.
they give you an asterisk, you know, that leads to Greenland.
Well, oh, because they separate the word Greenland.
Yeah. Let's call this place the Greenland, and it went down to Greenland. Really? It's like, and I think that may have been a translation thing.
Probably.
Yeah. They were just translating what was there, and it may have, I was actually looking for the French version of this so I could get some of the details like with the 2000 years and see if there were mistranslations, but I could not find a version of this to save my life. I even went to eBay and I'm gonna keep looking for that.
Nice. Okay. The cool thing about this is the line art once again is beautiful.
Oh yeah, the artwork is great.
Oh, the line art is gorgeous.
Yeah.
But yeah, he goes back and they're like you look, you know, we gotta go back. He said 15 years ago, many years past, Father, remember how 15 years ago Bjorn told us he'd been blown off course? Oh, that's right. He's talking about where to go after this.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah, when they're talking to Leif.
Yes, yes, yes.
But yeah.
Leif is Eric's son.
Apparently, though, from history, the reason why they called it Greenland is he was trying to attract people to move there from Iceland.
Ah,
so he was using some marketing there to, oh yeah, come to Greenland. You know, you don't want to live in Iceland. You want to live in Greenland.
And talking about how fertile it was there too, though.
Yeah, and I mean, it did all right, but I mean, it had some harsh winters.
Yeah,
and I believe they had conflicts with the Inuits that lived there.
Mm.
And eventually, the colony failed.
Mm.
Like after the little ice age, when that hit, that did it in. Like everybody left. And they had an epidemic also that hit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's actually what killed Eric eventually. He died at 53 when he got sick.
You know, considering how old people usually lived to back then, that's pretty good life, though.
Oh, yeah, for the most part. You know, but a lot of that, you know, you always hear the human life expectancy was like 35 and all that.
Yeah.
Those numbers are skewed because they had a lot of infant mortality.
That's true. Okay.
So when you averaged them, a lot of people didn't make it to like 1 year old or 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a longer lifespan because we have lower infant mortality today.
I got
so you.
You
still had a lot of people that lived to be 80 and 90. It's just the numbers. You know how stats work.
Yeah. They're, and then that curve goes way down and a lot of babies are dying.
Yeah.
Birth and whatnot. That makes sense.
It's like if you're doing your grades and you got a lot of zeros. You know, they're going to bring your grade way down quick.
Trying to explain that to my stepchild, yes.
Yes. So, anyway, so they try to take, 25 longboats to Greenland? And it says 10 sank, but the historical records say 11 sank.
Well,
so okay. They're ballparking. It's pretty close enough.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so also it's also of note here where a horse reared up and knocked Eric off, and he got hurt. So he was going to lead the expedition.
But yeah, and we ran into that with the William the Conqueror story previously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so that's like prophecies. A theme.
Mm-hmm. And so the son goes in search of new lands, and that new land is North America.
Yeah, Leif Erikson, that's how he became the leader of that expedition because, Eric did not want to go.
Yeah.
He wasn't feeling up to it.
Didn't they actually, didn't they land on Newfoundland?
Yes, that's Finland that they talk about is
Newfoundland.
I think that's actually Newfoundland.
Yeah, this is where the name comes from, yeah. That's why actually, if apparently, and I don't know this myself, when you go to Newfoundland, there is a very particular accent, probably because of the influence of Norwegian, cultures.
Is that, and there's a lot of Scottish.
Oh, okay. Well, they call it the Newfie, accent. So,
but that was they found some of the settlements there.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, they found the artifacts and stuff, and several settlements through there. And apparently they fought amongst themselves, and as Vikings do, and then fought with the Native Americans as well. But they were the first Europeans that we know of that actually reached North America long before Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which,
considering how much the Vikings, explored on their longboats, it makes a lot more sense.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I really like there was... I can't remember if it was in the book, because I've read it a few times, but it's been a while since I've read this part of it. But in the show American Gods,
mm-hmm.
they had the part of the beginning where the Vikings came to North America, and mm-hmm. it's kind of over dramatized, but like how the natives immediately met them with hostility.
Oh yeah.
So they had to learn to live with the natives and live on the beach for a while, and then basically they realized. This new land is harsh.
Mostly, yeah.
Flies and things like that.
Well, and they're pretty far north still. So,
yeah.
And it didn't get, I guess, the same warm water that Europe at the same latitude was getting. So,
okay.
Yeah. It was on the backside of the conveyor.
Okay.
Yeah. But there's even, I've read hypotheses that suggest that maybe the mythical Quetzalcoatl.
Mm hmm.
Of the Aztecs, mm-hmm. but may have been a Viking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, there's no proof to it. It's just conjecture. But the way he's described and why they mistook Cortez for him, because he came from a boat, and you think the plumed serpent is what he was. He was a feathered serpent.
Oh yeah, I know well. Yeah,
it'd be easy to associate that with a Viking ship. With how they were dragon like,
and Cortez, what a guy! He goes they're all like, "Oh, it's Quetzalcoatl," and he's like, "Hey, sure. I'm a god,
yeah.
Give me all your gold, let's do this. I'll bring you sickness."
He was the original Homelander.
Yeah, he really was. So that's the end of the saga of Eric the Red and end of the fact files, which honestly kind of neat. The only one that really. you know, I don't know, irritated me, Alcatraz. But then again, I'm an American. I've seen The Rock. Come on. I know Nick Cage and Sean Connery. We've seen that movie. We know enough about
Tony Todd.
Oh, Tony Todd. Yes. Yeah, there were a lot of people in that movie that were great.
Yeah. But I would read this as a separate comic. I'm kind of glad it's not in Transformers anymore. We need more Transformers content.
Well, like you, what you're saying here, I'm hoping we'll have more and more of that. So,
yes.
Then of course they want to tie into the magnetic forces of Windcharger and Ravage. We have the Ludo magnetic force game.
They really did. They were really good at tying this stuff together. I mean, if it's not Transformers, it's still like they get a theme.
They're better at transitions than we are.
Right.
Magnetic Ludo is a brightly colored variation of the traditional game. I don't know Ludo. So it looks like, I don't know, it looks like a strategy game with, you know, a cross of different, you know, circles, I guess. You have pieces, probably half of the pieces.
It's based on the same game from India that became Parcheesi over here.
Okay, which I've never played actually, so I don't know.
Okay, or if you played Trouble, Trouble is loosely based on those. But there's variations, like Parcheesi had two dice.
Yeah.
Okay, Ludo has one die. And then, you know, Trouble has the Pop-O-Matic bubble.
Pop-O-Matic bubble.
So, yeah. So, yeah, if you played Parcheesi, then you played Ludo, basically. God,
every time I think about Parcheesi, I think of the Ren and Stimpy line, pure cheesy. and they have this little Match the Opposites game, which is like four different characters. Actually, no, eight. You have to match their opposites. It's like Optimus Prime, Megatron, Machine Man, and Madame Menace, which... I'm sorry, Machine Man. No one deserves that.
Right.
Shield and Predator and Planetary and Vermin the Vile. And that was a giveaway for the Ludo game. So if you says up, you put your answers there on the thing and you send it in, you too could win a magnetic Parcheesi kind of game. So cool. You know.
They have lots of giveaways in this comic. I mean,
fantastic, yeah.
Yeah. They were very reader friendly.
Yeah. So we're back to Planet Terry. And they get through the woodlands, jungle or whatever it is.
Yeah, Omnus is finally done penetrating the impenetrable forest.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of funny. He looks like a pine cone. So.
He does. He looks like a green pine cone. Oof. but these vines start circling him. And the vines have like little hands in the ends of them. So
they're like those little rubber sticky hands that you like grab stuff when you sling them and they stick.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
Except they encircle them and start tickling them.
Yeah. Bad touch.
Which is not okay.
Robata is not amused.
No, she is not ticklish at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she starts snapping vines and like shooting. She has like laser beams coming out of her head.
Yeah, she saved them from the tickle vines, which it's weird because in the last issue, they listed the dangers they would face. And, you know, they had the impenetrable forest, the mayhem maker, and terror vines.
Oh, these are terror vines.
Yeah, but these are tickle vines.
Well, maybe they're terrible tickle vines.
No, it's close enough.
close enough. And on to the domed city.
Yeah. And I mean, they warn them about this too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Random volcano.
That just bursts out of the ground. Now, they told them there's a volcano and then also there's a whirlpool.
Yeah. Okay. Which there really wasn't these without like the mayhem maker.
Yeah. I don't. That's what I'm saying. I guess all these are mayhem maker things.
Yeah, I guess so. But a volcano that looks like it's like 20 feet across comes out of the ground.
Yeah.
And somehow Omnus finds a vine and they swing across it.
Yeah. I mean, the physics are dubious there, but hey, it's another planet. Maybe it just works differently.
We won't overthink it.
Yeah. But the whirlpool, they're surprised by. You know, they test the water with the aqua analyzer and then, everything's fine. So they go across. But the Gorkles warned him about a whirlpool. So, I mean, you should have expected the whirlpool when you got there.
Dollar Tree, being the merciless. Like, yes, yes. Do go in.
It's like the little machine in the beginning of Flash Gordon. It's like, okay, we're going to send hurricanes and earthquakes and
Hail.
hot hail. Yeah. This is heavily cribbed from Flash Gordon.
It's like, was it scavenge? I'm bored.
Oh. Instead of Clayton.
Yes. So yeah, he makes life hell for the little family of Terry, Robata, and Omnis.
And I mean, it's more than just a whirlpool. It's like a water spout.
Yeah, this is spits him out. It throws him into a bubble cell, like a jail cell made of a bubble.
Which obviously Omnis can't penetrate.
But he can penetrate anything.
Right.
Except
maybe
for
that's next bubbles. Time.
And Anton LaVey comes over. Welcome to the doomed city. He looks so bad. He looks like he's trying. He looks like a guy who's trying to dress up as like a dark wizard or vampire at Halloween, and he just looks like Uncle Frank. Stop, please. You're embarrassing me in front of.
He's got the Beldar cone head.
He look does. With
even the high collar, like he's got that 80s pop collar, you know. So
that and the Vincent Price like goatee mustache, like little pencil mustache for the goatee thing.
This guy's got so many bad guys, and you know, that's just such a trope, I guess. But
yeah, well, you know, obviously people with mustaches and goatees are trouble and evil.
Oh yeah, he's obviously from the Mirror Universe.
Look out for the knife. So they're like, well, Dome City, there's no dome. Why is it called the Dome City? And he's like, who knows? Must have been written in a dumb book.
Yeah, so it's close enough.
It's close enough, exactly. They go in like they are like start asking them, where's, you know, you're not Princess Ugly, the ruler. And he's like, yeah, she's sleeping. You'll be under arrest for trespassing. But then he does this thing and says, and you, my dear, are under arrest, and gives a Robata cosmic rust.
Yeah, she starts just rusting out of nowhere. Like instant rusting.
And he's doing the whole hee hee hee.
Yeah,
you know, evil guy laugh.
He's got his Dick Dastardly going.
He really does. Kind of looks like Dick Dastardly with that facial hair. Maybe that's why Dick Dastardly always wore a hat.
Right? He's hiding a cone head.
And we have the Transformers toy list, part two, the evil Decepticons.
So yeah,
which is neat. I don't remember them ever doing this in the American one.
No, we didn't get the. I think the closest we got was like in issue 41, when they had like name the Autobots that were in the. They had a contest where you could just name the Autobots.
Yeah, and did you catch one thing they messed up in this?
Oh yeah, quite a bit.
Well, one big glaring thing to me, Cassette Man.
Cassette Man, yeah, they referred to Soundwave as his microchange name.
Yep, Cassette Man. What else did you notice in this that it jumped out at you?
Well, I saw that they had the spy cassettes together, uh-huh. Rumble, Ravage, Frenzy, and Laserbeak, but then Buzzsaw is
Oh, he's
separate.
By himself. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, you know, they left him out on that previous list of cassettes. Oh, that's right.
And I wonder if it's because he came with Cassette Man.
Yeah, I think so.
Probably so.
He's the odd man out, literally. Odd bird out. But they used, I want to say, like the box art. For Starscream's lineup, I guess that's Starscream.
Yeah.
His line art. But then they use the animation model for Bombshell.
They do.
Yeah.
That's definitely not his box art. Yeah, they do. Interesting.
Yeah. And then, you know, we have some members missing on here. And these were toys that were not available in the UK. And we have the Constructicons are missing.
Oh, good point.
Yeah. Shockwave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Deluxe Insecticons, you know. With Venom, Ransack, Chop Shop, and Barrage.
Yeah,
they're missing. And then the Reflector Trio, you know, Spectro, Spyglass, and Viewfinder are not on the list either. And those were mail order only, but they, just like the Omnibots, weren't on the last list.
Yeah,
so
I was going to say.
Apparently the mail order Transformers didn't come over. And I'm sure Shockwave and the Deluxe Insecticons were licensing the issues in Europe because they were available through other companies.
Nice, okay.
Yeah, because when it, it's Beatrice, that's where the Deluxe Insecticons came from. And I'm not sure why the Constructicons were left out.
I don't know, considering they're probably going to show up in the comic here soon. So I'm not right yet, but pretty soon.
And then I think when they finally showed up in Europe, I know there's some European markets got it, but I know at the end of G1, they had the yellow Constructicons and they didn't have their combiner pieces.
That's right. And were you telling me that?
So I wonder if there was an issue with that, like a safety issue or something.
Yeah, maybe. But then again, Shockwave's in this, you know, we're going to come and see in the end of this issue. They're going to go back.
Well, you couldn't avoid him in the comics.
No.
No, so he's kinda, a major force. Interesting.
He's not in there at all. I wonder, did they have Galactic Man or anything over there?
They had other versions of him there because that toy was licensed out to like everyone.
Everyone had a piece of Shockwave.
Well, they had Galactic Man, they had Astro Magnum.
Yep.
And I mean, there's entire pages dedicated to versions of Astro Magnum.
I mean, there's like, you've got Red Fist, Clear Fist, you know, all kinds of stuff like that.
Just, oh yeah, different heads. They'd like retool the head and stuff. And there's all the knockoffs that, you know, they had different versions. So
Shockwave.
Yeah, they sold that toy for, I want to say, like 20 years or something. They wore that mold out.
So Andre Knowles from York does ABCs of Transformers.
Oh, yeah. He went through and wrote. He was detailed.
He reached on some of these.
Yeah.
You is for underhand. The tactics of Sideswipe. Okay.
Yeah. The X is the real reach there.
X for extracting the Earth's fuel sources.
they always like to just drop the E on X words.
Z is for zigzag, the movements of ramjet. Okay, man. But he did pretty good. Like E is for electron pulses, Sunstreaker's equipment. So he went into the weeds a bit on these.
He dove into like the tech specs in the comic like exposition.
Q is for quick change from robot to vehicle and back. Yeah, not a quick switch. The worst toy ever.
Oh yeah. Well, thankfully he didn't have to see him at this time.
his dreams weren't shattered yet.
In fact, did quick switch ever show up in the comics? I don't know.
I don't remember. But then we have a little preview for next issue. We returned the sequel, What Happened to Shockwave, The Autobots Last Stand, Have the Autobots Survived, Where's Ratchet? And all kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, and we got the little title splash page with Megatron all hosed up.
Yep. And Machine Man is back. He faces a deadly new foe. I'm so excited.
That's what we wanted.
Yeah. It went by so quickly this time without Machine Man. It was kind of nice. But, I mean, you know, it could have been worse. You could have added more Matt and the Cat.
Oh, well, we get more of that, too.
I don't even know what's happening here. They're walking on an alien planet, and, like someone grabs Humph, and Matt doesn't even realize he's over there talking. And
yeah, he's wondering where Olea Sim is, and then just admiring the new planet. And these aliens, it looked like the robot that Rocky got Polly in Polly 3. Polly 3. Huh. Rocky 3.
Rocky 3, yeah, I was going to say.
I would watch Polly 3. He was like the prototype for Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Kind of was.
Yeah.
So August Meredith?
Yeah. So, yeah, Polly's robot from Rocky 3 is what these guys look like. They've got the big, like, triangular head with the big eyes.
Looks like mantis heads.
Yeah.
We actually watched a really terrible movie called Burnt Offerings. And have you ever seen that before? Has Karen?
No, Black I haven't.
August Meredith plays like the brother of this the sister who rents the place out, and their mother apparently lives upstairs. And August Meredith is in he's in a wheelchair. He's like, he listens to the people ask questions, and he's like, oh, I like them. And August Meredith's voice. So it's just funny to watch that kind of stuff. You never, anytime you ever hear him talk, if I didn't see a TV or didn't see a picture, I would know it was him. Just that voice. But it's, they'll let you know, it's not a good movie. It's just one of those ones we saw on a list, like the 101 horror movies you should see. Like, oh, I've never, this is available to watch for free. Let's check it out sometime. Don't.
There's a reason why it's free.
it is so long of a movie. I mean, it, yeah, don't, just don't. I mean, watch Showgirls. It's better than that.
Oh, that's just mean, man.
If it was for August Meredith and Karen Black, I'd said, nah, I'm good.
It's funny how many bad movies there are that have a lot of talent behind them. And
oh,
you're like,
yeah,
man, what would it take to save this film? Like, different everything but those actors.
Different script, I don't know. But we get the last page here.
Yeah, they give us an update, which they told us on the previous page, of the events that led up to this. So they're giving us a little recap of the end of 8.
Yeah. Last time we left off, there's the shot through the ceiling, and here comes Shockwave floating through, transforms, and all the Autobots are on the ground.
Yeah, he's standing over all the fallen Autobots, and we get the famous, not the end.
Yeah, not the end. And then the last page actually has one of those telltale book and cassettes we were talking about earlier, like the you know, follow along stories for like $1.99.
Yeah, the Autobots Lightning Strike.
Yeah,
or I guess it's $1.99.
Is that what? Well, yeah, $1.99.
Yeah,
you know, so like what, you know, a quarter and like, you know, freedom money.
Yeah, the Autobots harness the power of lightning to give the evil Decepticons a nasty surprise. I've got those books somewhere around here. I'll have to dig them up. They're in a box somewhere. I don't have the cassettes that go with them, though.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever read any of these. I don't think I had any when I was younger. So
I snagged a bunch of them in the 90s.
Oh, okay. They're probably, you know, in quarter bin somewhere.
Yeah, actually, I may have picked them up at BotCon.
I can see that.
Like BotCon 99 or something, because it was just oddball stuff.
Yeah, I see a lot of people going after the oddball stuff, like the weird collectible things.
Yeah. Well, and as much as I've always been into the toys, I was more into the media behind it. I was more into the lore and the comics and the books and all that. That was always my big thing. But it was, I guess, cheaper to chase that when you were younger than it was to try to chase all the comic or the toys down.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've got that that Rumble, like, voice changer thing, like, that has a headset and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I got a few of those things, like, kicking around, which actually, it does work. It just doesn't work great. They never really did, though.
Is that the one that has, like, enemy attached to it? It has, like, a little red cassette?
No. It's just, like, Rumble's head.
Oh, okay, it's just the head. Yeah, well, I think that head is supposed to be enemy. But,
Oh, it is a red head, so that's probably what it is. Yeah,
yeah. But they had another version that actually had like the little cassette character attached to it. A lot of people would take it off and use that as like enemy's action figure.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was just like a red rumble head. So I guess that's enemy. And you had a little like a headset with a little microphone down here.
Yeah.
And it kind of worked.
Yeah, I had the Decepticpack with the little shield and the mask.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the little chest piece, I think, is what it was. Yeah.
I know. I know your lady friend likes when you dress up like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's for special nights.
It's one of the special things I do.
It's a little bit on top.
It would probably work better with the voice changer, though. You know, it helps with the immersion.
That's my special time.
Never turned me into the green-eyed kids in the commercial, though.
Unfortunately.
Right. It's all who you know.
Well, we will see y'all next time. I appreciate y'all hanging out with us this long and just, you know, I guess going over how amazing these books are. And we will hopefully see you next time. And no more fact files. And we will hopefully see more Transformers content in the future.
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard the promise now. So.
Yeah, we will.
Thank God. Okay. Thanks, everyone. See y'all later.
Bye.